The Fox. Look, tough times for Melbourne, and as we've said, we want to be here for you, and we are on 131060. Our lines are open if you want to chat. Maybe you're alone and you feel like just talking to someone. We're here. And I thought, Feb, we could take a trip down memory lane, because on Friday, you and I got caught up in a conversation, and a lot of it was off air. We were talking about nightclubs.
Jeez, I thought you were going to go somewhere else.
We have a few conversations off air.
Definitely off air.
We were talking about nightclubs we used to go to.
Yes, the Chevron we got stuck on.
That was it. We both went to the. I wasn't a big Chevron fan. Then we were talking about Carousel and Silvers. Yep. And this, of course, for us and our generation, was like late 90s, early 2000s.
And Star Bar, Metro.
I don't know the Star Bar.
Oh, the Star Bar. I used to get drink cards, mate. Woo-hoo,
really?
Line up, get into that baby.
Oh, Star Bar at the Metro. I used to go to the Metro, but I couldn't get into that exclusive area. That's probably where you were.
Yeah, that's where I was hanging out.
I used to go to the Metro a bit on
Burke
Street.
I'd only got in there because I got in there with the two wogs. I got in there with Cuda and Ange. They ruled that joint.
Oh, Ange Christie.
Look out.
Oh, mate, that was their spot. I was a little kid and I was like their handbag. And I go, hey, boys, can I come with you? And they're like, yeah, because they don't drink. Like, they don't really drink. So they'd go in there and they'd buy like a breezer or like a vodka and just sit on it for the whole night. And I'd get hammered on their drink cards. I'd rock up to train and so hungover. And I'd look at them and I'd be like, why are you hungover? They're like, we don't drink the drink. And I'm like, oh. That's where I'm going wrong.
Do you know, I used to do, back when I was nightclubbing, I worked at Maya Eastland in the jewellery and watch department with Ange Christou's aunt.
Oh, really?
So there's a little
fist
link.
Fist to fist.
Yeah. That's what I used to call it. But fist. I remember when I'd be doing those shifts out at Ringwood Eastland, so, you know, you'd finish at 9 and you'd go like, I can't wait till the store shuts at 9. Maya would close and then you'd go and get ready and you'd kick off. You'd go to the nightclub at like, you know, 10, 11.
Stylus.
No, I went to Stylus once or twice. I know that was my area. And Juice nightclub on Maroondah Highway was obviously one I went to. But my first nightclub, and I mentioned this the other day, and I do want to hear 131060 if anyone knows this nightclub, because it's long gone. But it was called Area, and it was in Maroondah Highway, Croydon. And that's because I was in Wonga Park living there at the time. It was just near the McDonald's and the Pizza Hut. And I said this the other day on air. No, the first time I went there, I was 17.
Underage. Oh, you rebel.
It was such a cute story because all my friends were going, but my mum wouldn't let. I was one of those kids, surprise, surprise, that told my mum everything. And I want Trixie to be like this too. So I had friends that were sneaking out to go to Area or Juice. But I was like, Mum, all my friends are going, can I please go? And Mum said, I will take you. I will drop you off at 10. I will sit in the car outside and you've got to come out at 11.
Such
and I remember I went to my first nightclub, but it was Area in Croydon there, and still no one's calling. So I'm wondering if this was part of my imagination. Maybe it didn't exist.
Can we confirm that Area existed at all on the Maroondah Highway there?
Club, and I don't know what. Like, my gosh,
our younger days are so much different, Boxy. I didn't tell my mum anything. If I was going to the pub, I used to go to the pub at like the nightclub called Rosie's, which was at a was in Narre Warren. It was the first nightclub I ever went to. I used to jump over the back fence, and because there used to be like a tennis club there, so you jump over the back fence, get in the back where the smokers were, and you'd go bang straight in. I go, Mum, I'm going with Rosie's. She goes, no, you're not. She'd hear the door slam in the back and I'd just go out.
Oh, God. 131060, this is fun. Let's relive your nightclub memories. Which ones did you go to? Silvers, Toc H, the Metro, Chevron, Chasers. There were so many of them. Stylus. What was it? And there was one, I'm trying to think, Burwood Road and Canterbury in
Kittens.
The Springvale area.
Not what Kittens.
No, Manhattan.
Place.
Remember, did you go to Manhattan?
Yeah, I've been to Manhattan. That was a dodgy joint.
Canterbury Road, I remember that one.
Just quickly, Feef, before we take the break, and there's plenty
of
calls coming through, I don't want you to think you're crazy.
G-spot.
Okay,
Cheese.
Keep it clean. Sorry. Family show.
Yep, I've been there. Yep.
Just quickly, Andrew from Croydon. It's just so Feef doesn't think she's actually going crazy during the commercial break. Andrew from Croydon, I think, can confirm that nightclub Area was not actually in your imagination.
Andrew, did you go to Area?
Definitely went to area. Dave Russell was on the door. The bald bouncer, the boxer.
Oh, do you know, that's amazing. Area, and was it a good nightclub, Andrew? I only went a couple of times underage.
The back of Croydon Hotel. Me too. I was there about 16 onwards, and I'm probably about your age, so we were probably partying there illegally together.
There we go.
Yay.
I'm also going to play a song that probably was big at area. I'm going to play this after the break, because I reckon that would have gone off at area. We'll do that. Come back to your calls right here on The Fox.
You're right on. 101.9 The Fox.
Plenty of calls have come through on this one, Fief. The number is 13 10 60.
Do you want me to talk about what I was talking about off air?
No.
Okay. We're reliving great nightclub days. You know, this is, you know, Melbourne, we're doing it tough at the moment, but why not relive some good times when you started going to nightclubs? Anthony in Chirnside Park. Hi, Anthony.
Hello. How are you?
Yeah, good, Anthony. Now, hey, I believe you went to area as well.
I did. We were area people. We would go there, get there about 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
So you get the pass out. You go next door to the barrel bar, see the live band or whatever was going on there. Then you go back into area at midnight.
Did you ever see a little pocket rocket about 3 foot high rocking around with a... Her lipstick on, like she would have been rocking around, probably not talking to anyone.
Probably before her time, because I'm talking 84, 85, 86.
Old school, yeah. He was one of the original.
I was Byron's time.
Very funny.
No, but I think I was there at the end of it because when I think about it, Anthony, that's why I started to think, whatever happened to Ari? Because I was at the very tail end, and I think not long, because when I was at uni, I think it had turned into, I don't know, a motel. I think I was at the very tail end of it.
But back in the day when Dave O'Neill used to go there too.
Oh really?
Popular comedian Dave O'Neill was in the area.
Look at that.
Boxy, did you ever pick up early, like early days, like when you were 16, 17? Did you have a little pash?
No, I was not that. Feb, I would have been very disappointing to you. I was a very naive young girl.
What would you have done if, like, a 17-year-old young pimple-faced... Oh, I didn't really have pimples.
You would have terrified me, intimidated me, and scared me.
Just rocked up to you and said, hey, baby, is your dad a thief?
No.
I would have freaked out. Actually, if a young Brendan Fofolla had come up to me at a nightclub, I would have stuttered, stammered, and probably
and fallen
fainted.
Over, and I would have picked you up and said, let's go, baby.
No, thank you. I don't want to think about it. Just quickly, guys, we've got one more here. It's finally a club other than area, which apparently now it's just was one of the hottest clubs in
the
late 80s.
Sarah, how are you?
Good morning.
Sarah, thank you for distracting us. We were doing a hypothetical there, which was making me very awkward.
You awkward.
Anyway, what nightclub did you go to?
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Yeah, we've got you.
Yeah, okay. I went to the Bunker in Forest Hill. I don't know if you remember it. My girlfriend and I were pulled up onto stage and she was the most glamorous girl and I'm still really good friends with her and she had her head shaved on stage.
Her head shaved on stage.
I got to say, I never heard of the Bunker.
Was that for free shots?
The Bunker? Yeah, I think it was the Illusion Shaker.
For Illusion Shakers, wow. There we go. So the Forest
remember
Hill.
Remember Frostbite?
When I was like 19, 20, when I lived in South Yarra with Simon Beaumont, that was like my local. We used to go down there, play pool and drink all the Slurpees.
There.
Mate, you wouldn't have been
Slurpees.
In our corner. Yeah, you wouldn't
no,
have
I wouldn't have been
corner.
Near you. No way. Johnny from Cranbourne just
stare all the time.
Yeah, I would have gone, oh my God, there's Brendan Fofolla. Johnny just mentioned inflation.
What?
Remember inflation?
Yeah, that was a good joint.
Where was that joint? Man. Hey, Johnny, where was inflation?
60 King Street, Melbourne.
King Street? Well, there's a lot of colourful places.
Did you pop across the road, Johnny, after it or?
Or across the road, or down the road, or up the road, Ben.
Okay, that'll do. That ends the topic.
Well done, Johnny. You win.
It's the Fox. Featuring Evan Byron.
Radio today.
You're listening to highlights of Fifi, Feb and Byron on 101.9 The Fox. To hear the whole show, subscribe to the Daily Catch Up podcast, exclusive to the Fox app.
Fev, I'm feeling a bit guilty. We are in lockdown, and I did mention I got a little mini addiction to something last week, and I've had lots of DMs from people saying they wanted to know what game I was playing.
Yeah.
And it is Cooking Fever. It's an app. It's an app that Trixie stumbled upon, and people might relate to this with lockdown and kids getting a bit more iPad time.
She stumbled on the casino, not the...
Well, yeah, that story again was quite funny. So she was watching one of her shows on her iPad, and I think these sneaky app companies have realised, because of lockdown, put more ads on, and then the kids go, oh, what's this fun game? Anyway, most of them I decline. She got this game, Cooking Fever, and now she and I sit there and we play together, and we get really frustrated because the premise of the game is you're like running a restaurant, and you are as stressed as a restaurant owner.
Yeah.
You're cooking sausages, you've got the fry pans, they're burning, suddenly someone wants a Coke or a drink, and you're like, hey, and then customers storm off and they don't give you tips. And you're actually like, we sit there on the couch and Trixie's going, oh no, I just lost a customer. And I'm like, come on, quick, buy another fry pan. Anyway, she was, as you know, Fev, she was getting a lot more restaurants than me. And I did say to her, Trix, I don't understand because I can't afford these restaurants. And she said, oh, mummy, I get more restaurants because I go to the casino.
What?
And I know.
There shouldn't be a casino in this magical, mythical world.
But it's life. That's what happens. You get tips, you get extra cash. You go to the casino and you try to double it. Trixie wins. She's the mayor.
I've banned Trixie from the casino. There's no more going to the casino. Banned the app. If I didn't like it so much, I very nearly banned it because that is bad. And,
just a question. Did you find yourself in the casino?
I've been in the casino for 2 days and I've lost all my money.
101.9 The Fox.
Guys, what a big day yesterday was. We knew it wasn't going to be good because, as most people have predicted, the later in the day a press conference is from Dan Andrews, the worse the news.
And he rolled out in a suit on the weekend.
And we knew that was it was going to be quite full on. Now we know that we have lots of people suffering in our community. We are losing lives. We have people, more and more people in intensive care, and nothing should take away from that. I understand how stressful this is for a lot of people, and there's so much to take on board. First and foremost, there are all those people that are fighting for their lives. Then we are now in stage 4 lockdown. So for 6 weeks, we've got a curfew from 8 p.m. till 5 a.m. We know that people are not going to be able to go to work. Later today, we'll hear more about whether or not what industries are affected by that. This is tough, and there's nothing, you know, people are going to be hurting financially. People are going to be losing jobs. This is not a great time for our city. It's a really sad time, and it's a time when we really have to get around each other and support each other. Now, if you missed Dan Andrews' press conference, let's just recap, hear from Dan himself what the next 6 weeks is going to look like.
You will not be able to be at any point more than 5 kilometres away from your home for the purposes of shopping for what you need. Only one person will be able to go shopping once per day. Recreational activity is now no longer allowed. You will be allowed to have 1 hour of exercise no further than 5 kilometres from your home. And there will no longer be able to be any groups bigger than 2, regardless of whether they are from your family or someone else.
I think it's important, Boxy, to say, you just mentioned it then, but with our aged care, their immune system is not as good as what a young person's immune system is. So they're succumbing to the virus of corona, which is awful. But on the news last night, this happens to young people too. And I don't think the young people realise that. There was a kid in ICU who's 10. There's a 20-year-old, there's a 30-year-old, there's 40-year-olds. They're all in ICU at hospitals now. It happens to young people too. So it's not just the elderly. It happens to everybody.
And one of the patients is an emergency doctor, a doctor who works in the emergency ward of a hospital. And, you know, that's someone who's on the front line, and he's been saving, you know, dealing with people who are coming in to the hospital. And now he's in ICU. And, you know, I was thinking about this. This is awful. And I will say what we've been saying all through the show. This will play havoc and wreak havoc on people's mental health, and we must look after people living alone and isolated, because this is really, it's already been, is it over 4 weeks? Now we're looking at a minimum of another 6 weeks. We've got to look after each other. And also the thing I would say, Fev, to any of those conspiracy theorists listening or the anti-maskers, now's not a time for anger. This is not a time to fight. This is a time to just accept it and stand with each other and not make it harder, because it's the you know, people we've been calling mask holes, the people who've got, you know, they're fighting for their freedom or their civil liberties. Pipe down, just get on with it. When we get to the end of it, when this is over, and it will be over, we will get through it.
Yes, we will.
The light is at the end of the tunnel. Then go and fight your fight and have your whinge. But right now, don't waste the energy. Just spread happiness, love, and support.
Gee, I think that's a big one, Boxy, to do that, because I'm fine. Like I quite like being at home with my family, so it doesn't really affect me too much, which is great. I know it's going to affect Alex's business a fair bit, but we're lucky that I get to work, so we're fortunate in that piece. And I sent all you guys a message last night because I thought it's important to, because I know that in our team that we work in, that it's going to affect people a lot worse than what it is me. So don't be afraid, Melbourne, if you're out there, even to call us up and we can have a chat, or ring your mate that you don't think that's going to be struggling. Just give him a call, send him a message, because I think that's very important at this point. Because, you know, when we went for the first one, we were like, oh, we'll get through this and we'll do an all challenges, we'll colour in people's hair and we'll do baking
puzzles and
puzzles. But this one, everyone's like, oh, and it's just hit a bit more, hasn't it? It's getting a lot harder.
And 131060, we do, our phone lines are open. This is just an open line. Anytime during the 3 hours we're on air, you want to call, have a chat. Maybe even right now, how are you feeling? How is it affecting you? What are you worried about? Maybe, you know, we are talking about certain industries that we know are being hard hit. Maybe you want to shed light on an industry that we haven't thought about, or businesses that are suffering. We're just going to keep those lines open.
School kids, Boxy, like it was in year 12, like they're going through the biggest year of their schooling life, and now they've got to go back to home learning. How does that affect, you know, people's thoughts as well?
Yeah, plenty of calls already coming through, guys, and also don't forget the DMs, Fifi, Fev, Byron on in. So here's a classic case, guys. This is just one of hundreds of messages. But, for example, a guy by the name of Grant who says, hey, guys, just wondering, am I allowed to take my four-year-old daughter to my mother-in-law's for babysitting, which is what we normally do? Now, there's a guy that works in construction, which is currently essential, and mum works at ANZ, currently essential. You know, is that okay? That's our normal babysitting arrangement. Now, I mean, that's a very fair question.
Well, it affects me. Mm. So while I'm on air right now, I'm at home and the girls are here at home, but I do have someone here looking after them. Now, I assume I'm allowed to, because this is deemed an essential service.
Right.
Or is it? Well, do we even have clarification on whether or not the radio is an essential service?
Well, the Premier obviously will confirm a whole bunch of things later today, and I think we're all waiting on that to know. But I suppose if construction was deemed non-essential for a brief period of time, that would unfortunately answer Grant's question, because him staying at home, he would become the babysitter. Yeah. So,
and
anyway.
I feel that they can't do that anyway. Don't you think?
What?
Well, you can't take your kids to your grandparents' house to babysit. I don't think that's... I think that's why they've put this lockdown rule in.
They need to definitely clear up childcare.
Because,
you know, yesterday afternoon I said to you guys, I went, what do I do in the morning? Like, honestly,
we didn't have
the answer. Kids?
Yeah, we'll get to all of it. But in the meantime, 131060, plenty of calls. We'll come back.
You're listening to edited highlights of Fifi, Fev and Byron on 101.9 The Fox. To hear the whole show, subscribe to the Daily Catch-Up podcast exclusive to the Fox app.
We were just taking calls. Well, we've opened the phone lines 131060 for anyone who wants to talk about what we're going through as a city, as a community. It's unprecedented to think that we're in for the first time since World War II, we've got a curfew from 8 p.m. till 5 a.m. People can't leave their homes within 5 kilometre radius. We're not able to work. A lot of people are going to be suffering financially. Businesses, we will know later today what businesses are going to be affected by this, and it's all looking very grim. But look, we keep saying this and we'll say it again, we will get through it, guys. It's 6 weeks, we can do it. We'll you'd be amazed what we can do when we band together as a community and support each other.
What's that song, Boxy, September, Wake Me Up When September Ends? That's what you feel, some people might feel like. What's that song?
Oh, that Green Day song.
When it's all over.
September ends. Oh. Doesn't finish in September?
Yeah. 13th of September.
All right, I'll wait on the swings.
Wake me up mid-September.
Right. Anyway. I'll jump back on the swings.
But we've said sorry, this. Guys. We will be here for you through this whole period. We've 13 10 60. You call us anytime you want to chat. You want to share something. You've got information you want to impart. There's even if you just need a chat, a shoulder to lean on, a friend to talk to. 13 10 60. Victoria from Burwood. Hi, Victoria.
Hi, guys. Good morning. Vic. How are you?
Good.
Yeah, we're bracing ourselves, I imagine, as you are too. How are things going for you?
Oh, look, not too bad. Look, you know, personally, it doesn't affect me as much as others. I work from home. We run a small business, and I've got my office at home. So, you know, we're set up in that respect. No, look, we're Van Gogh Collections. Thank you. But I have two girls doing VCE. And I really want to give a shout out to all those kids today to stay strong, because it's really, really hard for them. You know, they're all turning 18. They can't go out. They can't see their friends. And that affects me more than anything.
So tough.
It's tough. They're, you know, it's very tough. And you know, Victoria, that I was thinking about even smaller kids. You know, I'm looking at Trixie's 7, and she's here alone with me and Daisy, who's obviously 12 months, but I'm watching her go stir crazy. You know, there's only so many times she can, you know, watch something on the telly or jump on the trampoline, and it's and I'm trying to be fun mum and play unicorns, and I'm like, you know, the poor thing. You know, our kids are really, we need to support our kids through this too. It's going to be a tough 6 weeks.
And the VCE students, guys, you think about what they're going through. I mean, they are in a competitive situation against kids from other states who aren't limited the way we are. So that makes it even tougher for them. They're going for the same uni spots as someone from New South Wales.
You'd think that will get looked at.
It would have to.
I was going to ask Vic that. Vic, has there been any word from the Australian or the Victorian government about the VCE kids getting a little bit more help or a bit more lenient on their work?
Look, we haven't heard anything today about that. I know my girls' school is certainly getting on to them as to what even tomorrow looks like, you know, whether they can go and because their school's ready to go for online anyway. They've been prepped for this for a long time. So they might be able to go tomorrow and do the subjects that they don't have today. Just to touch base with their teachers, you know, the practical subjects like VizCom and biology and all the sciences that are so hands-on and not so much of the, you know, just the words, but, you know, the prac side that they have to get done.
Yeah.
So hopefully they can get in and do those today and set them up. Look, I've said to my girls, look, you know what, take photos of your friends. So when you've got them, you know, you're doing that class, you've got your friends there, because the social aspect for all the kids.
It's huge.
It's huge, yeah.
Thanks for sharing that, Victoria.
I know that with Mia, Boxy. Well, I've got a 20-year-old who, she's doing uni via, obviously, Zoom as well, but she's got no interaction with anyone. And I know when I was 20, what I was up to, like you go out with your mates, you go to the pub, or you go, just go anywhere. But she's stuck at home, like for their mental, like we've been having a chat with Mia about it, because I'd be going stir crazy if I was 20 and I couldn't go out and do anything. They've got their license, they've got free will to do anything. But we don't have any free will to do anything now. So it's such a struggle.
Julie in Caulfield. Hi, Julie.
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning, Jules. How are you going?
Oh, we're going slowly, one foot in front of the other, but it's not easy. I'm a full-time single parent and I work full-time crazy hours, somewhere between 45 and 50 hours a week.
Wow.
I do work from home, but I've got two kids in primary school and one of them is in prep. And a brand new reader. So at the moment, they have been able to go to school and the school have been amazingly supportive. But under the new restrictions, I don't know whether or not they can continue going to school, and I don't think they can.
Yeah.
So what happens when you are working from home, but you are a single parent, you do work ridiculous hours and your children need very, very, very close supervision with their schooling. Yeah.
That's the biggest one. I reckon that might be the biggest one we've just touched on there. That's massive.
It is, and we need to know where that where the government sit with that and what's going to happen. Because you're right, Julie. I mean, if the kids can't be looked after or sent to school, you actually can't work.
Yeah. No. Yeah, and look, my work.
That's your boat, Boxy. Same thing.
Yeah, yeah.
See, that's where, and we're not being critical, but that's where it would be difficult for the Premier because he sort of half said it yesterday because they're still getting everything together. And it's left us in this slight limbo where he's sort of said, yeah, look, a lot of things are going to shut, but then he hasn't been able to give us the detail.
Well, I think the reason for that is it's not going to be good news and they're just holding off and waiting till they get it right because at the end of the day, I think they're going to shut everything down and there's going to be a lot of people that come out. I'm just speculating this, so don't think that I'm just having a crack. But I think that people, this is going to really affect us. Come tomorrow when we're doing the show, I think a lot of things will be shut down, Boxy.
Oh, it's going to be tough. Alan in Langwarrin. Hi, Alan.
Hey, hi, Phoebe. Seven Byron, how are you?
Alan, how are you going? Oh, Alan.
Big Al.
Good to hear from you. What's happening in your world?
Well, I just started a new business, So I've been just setting up for the last probably 6 to 7 weeks now. And I don't think we're going to open. We just employed 5 people. Oh. So I probably have to notify them today and say, listen, we're going to have to shut down. But, you know, it's for the good for now. Yeah, let's just get through this together.
Yes, yeah.
Well said, Al. You know,
what's your business, Al?
Dark Australian Steel Coatings. So we specialise in fireproofing and sandblasting and coating systems for steel to protect people. Okay.
Yeah. Do you think that construction is going to shut down or do you think it's going to keep going?
I'm not too sure, mate. The messages I've been getting and stuff like that is, that we can't open yet, so.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, Alan, when we do open, and this is for everybody listening, particularly small businesses or anyone who's struggling, when things open again, tell you what, we will be, you jump on our airwaves and like flog your businesses, spread the word.
We will be
pumping all your small businesses and we will get all that cash flow going through again. Don't worry, we will recover.
100%, Boxy. And I reckon if Al's business doesn't open, if any of those businesses need a voiceover voice, Alan, you make a bit extra cash flow voice of yours.
Actually, yeah, Alan, can you just take us into the break by saying Fifi, Fevan, Byron on the Fox? We just really like your voice. Do you mind giving that to us,
no
please?
No problems at all. And stay safe, Australia. Let's get through this together, Victoria. We'll do it.
And then say Fifi, Fevan, Byron on the Fox.
Fifi, Fevan, Byron on the Fox. Have a great morning.
Oh, what a voice.
Beautiful.
101.9 The Fox.
Now, Boxy, I'm going to go somewhere where I never thought I'd go. This is nearly worse than me sticking up for umpires, which would never happen. And this is also on that cusp of this would probably never happen. But over the weekend, a sports journo, an AFL journo, lost his job. And he lost his job. His name's Mitch Cleary. And I'd never stick up for journos. I've got a couple of journo mates, but they do write a lot of stuff. There's a lot of them. There's a lot of them out there. Mm-hmm. They're trying to break the biggest stories and the best stories. And sometimes they write stories that aren't true. Sometimes they jump the gun really quick. But this journo, Mitch Cleary, didn't jump the gun. He wrote the story after the fact. So it was already out there that Trent Cotchin's wife had visited a day spa because she put it on her Instagram. And how many followers? She's got a few followers, hasn't she?
Well, we just looked at it, about 15,000.
15,000
So this
followers.
Is the captain of the Richmond Footy Club who's up north.
Who I know and I'm mates with Trent. But she breached the protocols and the club then got fined a certain amount of money. I think it was $50,000 or $45,000, and 25 of that is on hold or like on suspension, and they had to pay 20. Done and dusted. Okay, they breached it, but he went and wrote the story about it and mentioned her name, and then the AFL stood him down. Now, that is absurd. He should be getting his job back. Gil McLaughlin should be ringing him today, apologising publicly, because this journo, not like all other journos that don't write the right story, and especially magazines that we read, Boxy, that don't write, they fabricate stories, lie. This guy has written the truth about a certain thing that had happened, which we all knew, and he's lost his job over that, telling the truth. Now, I'd say that is absolutely disgusting, and if he doesn't get his job back, oh, God, I don't know what we can do, but there's a lot of uproar on Twitter about it. A lot of journos are saying, how can this even possibly happen? What, we write the truth and lose our job? I find it absolutely bewildering.
What I don't get about it, Fev, because similarly, I read it. Now, obviously, I don't get as attached to the sports stories as you do. But when I read it, I think, hang on, this woman put it on Instagram.
Yeah.
So 15,000 people saw that she'd gone to a day spa or a nail salon. And then this journo just happened to mention that she'd done it and he lost his job. Because I know there's this thing about privacy, and but there's no privacy when you tell 15,000 people on Instagram. So if he'd taken a sneaky photo and decided to out him himself, then you might go, well, did you have to do that, buddy? This is a private woman. I get the feeling, and I'm sorry, I don't know Trent's wife well, but I imagine she considers herself a public figure in that she's an influencer. Would she to have 15,000 followers?
They're in the public eye.
Yeah, if your Instagram was on private, you'd go, well, someone leaked that. But if you've got a public Instagram page and you go to a nail salon, a journo can write that, and I'm with you 100%. That's so wrong that he lost his job. Yeah.
But everyone had already known that that was the case. And then he just wrote a story about the fine, and then he's lost his job. And I just think that's ludicrous. I think it's disgusting that the AFL can do that, especially in this time.
Do they just not like him? That's what I'd take from that if I was him. They were just looking for an excuse to get rid of him.
Well, I think he's a pretty good journo. I think he's one of the good ones. So for him to lose his job and not have it, and in this time, and we all need football and we all like reading about football, I think that it's a disgrace.
All right. Well, hopefully this time tomorrow, we'll have the story that he's got his job back. Hopefully
if an umpire loses his job and he shouldn't have, I'm not sticking up for you.
Yeah, that's the absolute last bastion for you, Fev.
Done.
I mean, you've defended people that we never thought you would, including journos. God.
Fifi, Fev and Byron. 101.9 The Fox.